I greet you in the name of Christ, our Redeemer, the one who is born in Bethlehem, and the one who is our Savior who went to the cross and walked this journey of Lent with us. I invite you to look at your bulletins at the announcements page. I'm not going to read all of that to you. But as we talk about Lent and beginning this season and our journey toward the cross, I invite you, well, there is a tradition of giving something up for Lent. And you can do that, but I would rather ask you to add something. Instead of giving something up, oh, there may be things we need to give up, surely. But I'd invite you to add something this season. A new discipline of reading a scripture each day, or of some prayer in the morning and in the evening, or maybe visiting a friend you've been feeling guilty about, just going and sharing a little bit of love and a little bit of faith. You can add something to your life as well as giving up something. The whole idea of giving up something for Lent is to make more room for Christ to live in us and through us. So, I'm going to use the story of Jonah today to talk about second chances, and the story of Nicodemus to talk about second chances, and I want to focus on that. But in the meantime, we have some other announcements to share. I'm standing here looking at that beautifully colorful egg tree in the foyer, and I'll bet some of you are wondering what in the world that is. Did you know eggs grow on trees? No, you didn't know that. And maybe they don't. But out here they do. And those eggs are for a fundraiser for Proyecto Abrigo, which is a service project that we are going to take a mission group toward in July, the 5th through the 10th of July. And that egg tree has instructions there. But if you can contribute funds to that trip, you can put those funds in one of those eggs and put them in the basket. And Jan Helton can answer any other questions that you have about that. We have a team put together. Judy could answer as well. Our serve team has orchestrated this, and Jan has been several times before, and I have not, so I'm looking forward to going. And I hope you will support that ministry, where we will actually go and build a house within 1 week for a family that has no place to live. What a rich moment that will be. Other announcements, please mark your calendars now. These announcements are in your bulletin. I'm not going to read them to you, but we are having on the next fifth Sunday a single service and a family game day. The details are in your bulletin. And the following Sunday, we're having a Palm Sunday picnic following the morning services. And the details of that and the location are there. It's going to be at Bob and Julie McElroy's. They welcome us all to find it. The directions are there. We will still have Wednesday Bible studies this week. Our office hours will be dimmed a little bit because of staff plans. We're going to be basically open in the mornings. You can look at, I think the schedule is written in the bulletin. But we are still going to have our Wednesday noon and 6 p.m. Bible studies, and we will still have our retirement home services at Oak Manor and Country Home Estates. If you are our guest today, we'd really like to stay in touch with you, and we are seeking to grow. We are wanting to turn this place inside out. There's too many good things happening here to keep them to ourselves. So I encourage all of you to be aggressive and invite your friends, your neighbors, your countrymen, your fellow musicians. Invite people to church. Many of your friends, I'm sure, have a church home, but you certainly have friends and neighbors who do not. So if you're our guest today, we really want to stay in touch and would like to know how to reach you. And some of you, we already have found that way. So glad for that. Now, there are lots of other announcements in our bulletin, but you can read the rest of those for yourselves. And in the meantime, let's worship God together. Tyler?
And now, if you would rise and join me in singing number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Let us claim our faith together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or even sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. Y'all can start coming sooner than that. Come on up. Come on up here. Good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you. Good to see all of you. I'm glad you're here. All four of you. That's great. Hey, do y'all watch Nickelodeon sometimes? It's a cable channel that has a lot of children's programs, Nick. And they have a program... In prime time in the evenings, they sometimes call it Nick at Night. You heard that?
No.
I guess I'm aging out on those things. It's Nick at Night. And our scripture today is about a guy named Nicodemus who came to Jesus when it was dark because he was afraid that he would be caught and ridiculed for coming to Jesus. He was afraid he would get in trouble with some of his friends for following, for being a disciple of Jesus. So we kind of call Nicodemus the secret disciple because he wanted to be a disciple, but he just didn't want to own it completely. He didn't want to do it in the full noonday sun. He did it at night so he maybe wouldn't get caught. Well, I think that's a tragic thing in a way because I think we should follow Jesus in the full light of day. And not just do it at night. You know, when you say your prayers at night, you lay down and you go to sleep, do you say prayers? Do you don't? You do? Well, you don't have to say the words out loud to pray because we just think our prayers sometimes. Or sometimes I like to pray just by breathing. I breathe in. Breathe in with me. And then breathe out. Sometimes that's a good way to take in fresh air and dispel some of the bad air that's in your lungs from the day, that's been kind of stressful. But that's one way to pray because we have to breathe out to pray. We have to say our words and breathe everything out, leave it all there, and then we breathe back in, and we breathe back in some grace. It's no wonder that God talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because Spirit is air, and air is breath. And that's a really holy thing. So when we breathe in and out, we're breathing in God's grace, I think. So I'd like to encourage you to do that at night and to breathe in some of God's wisdom and God's goodness and God's smiles. Because God smiles at you. God is proud of you. God made you and created you and enabled you to do all the things that you do, whether it's play sports or sing in a chorus or help somebody else with their homework or become a Girl Scout. All of those things that you do, God enabled you to build a sandcastle or whatever it is that is your gift. And we should give thanks for that. And we should ask God to breathe in us and help us to grow into doing those things better, into doing new things, things that we hadn't even thought of, but that God plants in our minds, in our souls. So, when we pray to God at nighttime, let's not go like Nicodemus did in secret. I mean, it's okay to pray in secret because God hears us in secret. And at night is a perfectly good time to pray. But let's not be afraid to pray in the daytime in the full light as well. And in the morning and at noontime. Whenever we feel like singing a song, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. Those are good things to breathe and pray. Breathe in air and breath out prayer. How about that? Turn your air into prayer. Let's pray. God, help us to remember to breathe in your grace and to breathe out not just air, but prayer. Amen. Thanks for coming to church. So it's time for our ushers to come and collect up our gifts. And everything we do in response to what God has done for us is an act of worship. So we're not just giving because we need to collect funds. We're giving because we all feel strongly about returning a portion to God as an offering, as a part of our worship. Let us pray. God, as we offer a portion of what you have poured into us, let us breathe out goodness, even as we breathe in your grace. Amen.
Now we will sing number 159, Lift High the Cross.
Please take your seats and let us share our joys and concerns and lift them in prayers. There's a listing in our bulletin of our prayer concerns, and I have a few to add to those today. If you'll bear with me, I'd like to mention, I'm not going to read the bulletin to you. You can do that, but you can include those in your praying. I'd like to mention our spring break travelers. Obviously, we've got some people out this morning, and there are some who are traveling, and certainly our students are free and are doing other activities or camps, and our campus is pretty much cleared out. Our office hours will be a little different. I think I said that this week. We will still have our Bible studies, though, and we also want to remember to pray for Jack Gray, in addition to the names that are listed in our bulletin, the Proyecto Abrigo Project, and added to our prayer list, I'd call your attention to the prayer list that's in our bulletin, and add to that the family of Charlie Martin, and I'd like to just include him in our prayers. And also, I keep coming across Dennis Wilkinson's name, and my heart hurts for them, and I would like to name him and also add Linda to that, because she is struggling with caring for him as well. So I want to list them out loud, and so there are plenty of others, I'm sure, that we could name. But God hears our prayers in the deepest places of our hearts. So let's begin our prayers with reverent silence. Oh God, as we breathe in and out in these moments of praying, let us breathe out all the fear and stress and stuff that takes our courage away and drains our love away. And let us be filled with hope and goodness from you. As we breathe out, let us breathe out argument and stress and frustration and fear. And let us take in a deep breath of your goodness and your peace, of your fellowship, that peace that passes all our human potential to understand. God, in your grace, we seek to live. We seek to find you. We seek to find your confidence, that spirit within us which would enable us to live in a world that seems to be clouded by fear. God, help us to make sense. Help us to be agents of your peace in the world and to spread the peace rather than helping to spread the fear. Oh, there's plenty of things to be afraid of. And yet, oh God, you call us to be confident. And when we admit that fear is the opposite of faith, then we know what can become our solution to our fears. Our confidence, our confide, our with faithness is what will tackle our fears and bring us to hope. Our trust in you, O God, and in the future that you have for us and that you draw us toward, not in heaven but here, a future of hope, a future of promise, a future of confidence. We chuckle, God, when our confidence fails and when we crumble under the weight of nervousness or fear or being overburdened. We crumble and we stumble. And then we fall on our knees and ask for help. Help us to ask before we crumble. Help us to come to you when we are strong, asking to be stronger and to become people of grace that make a difference in our world, in your world. Help us to be confident enough to come to you and ask for more, to present all that we are and have as a gift to you and ask for you, O God, to bless it and to make it shine. God, for all the brokenness in our world, for storms and threat of storms and disease and threat of disease, for threat even of epidemic, God, calm our anxious souls, O God. Help us to be wise and cautious, but not panicked. Help us to put things into place that will make things safer. And help those who are in research to find solutions. We pray for them, for their wisdom, for their listening to the universe and to your Spirit, O God, for solutions. God, we pray for all the brokenness in our world, that which comes not of disease but of human will. We pray for people who live with violence and people who cause it. For that brokenness, we pray. And for the healing of it, we plead. God, it's in your grace that we thrive. Well, it's in your grace that we survive. Grant that we might. And help us to draw others into that mode of moving, not out of fear, but out of hope. Help us to move forward, O God, instead of backward. Help us to move in confidence instead of fear. Help us to move in grace instead of pity. And now, O God, in the strength of Jesus and in His hope, we pray as people of faith in Him and with His words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scriptured reading comes from Psalms 121. It's found on page 539 in your pew Bible. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector never sleeps or rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect you, your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forever from now. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Listen also to these words for the word of the Lord. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered you, "I assure you," he said, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it is not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus said, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and of the Spirit, it is not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, but whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it chooses. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" And Jesus said, "You are a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? I assure you, we speak about what we know and we testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, then how will you believe it when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of confident faith. Thanks be to God. Some of you have held a newborn puppy. Have you? When their eyes are closed, maybe it was a kitten. When their eyes are closed and they're brand new and they're so vulnerable. I think when we are born, we're kind of like that. Maybe our eyes are opened. Maybe they have to be cleaned out a little bit. We're a little farther along in terms of being able to survive than some animals are, but we are quite less able than others. For example, young colts can walk or can at least stand after a few hours, and it takes most human beings most of a year to do that. We're all kind of born humbly, aren't we? It's no surprise that we're born weak and that we remain weak in some ways as we get older, and that we need to be filled, to be breathed into with God's breath, with God's Spirit, because just our physical form, just our flesh and bones is not worth much unless we are inflated with air. And that's a critical moment when a baby takes its first breath. No wonder God chooses the image of spirit, of breath, of air, of inspiring and respiring. Those images that call us to draw in a deep breath and to draw in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Nicodemus couldn't really quite embrace all of that. And he said, don't you know that God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes? You hear it. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So don't be surprised that I said to you that you must be born of Spirit. You must be born anew. I like that translation. The more I read the Common English Bible, the more I like it. The born again image has a little bit of problem for us. Born again is still a physical birth if you look at that literally. And that's the way a lot of people do. But Nicodemus was stuck in that model. Can you really enter your mother a second time and be born again? Like, he was really earnestly asking that question, and Jesus was really answering it when he said, no, you've got it all wrong. Listen to me. God's Spirit is like wind, and it blows where it chooses. You hear it, maybe, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. And that's the way it is when you're born of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with physical birth. Oh, that's pretty important, isn't it? That little spank you get to make you take your first breath, maybe that's the breath of Spirit. Maybe that's the birth of Spirit in you. When you take your breath and begin your respiration, part of the same word as Spirit, inspiration. When you take that breath in, that's the beginning of the mystery of needing something that we can't even see. Oh, we can see the result of wind. We can see the breeze blowing through tree branches or blowing a beautiful, colorful flag like the ones across the road in front of the administration building. We can see evidence of the wind, and we can see that in ourselves. Nicodemus didn't get all that, and sometimes we don't either. He was stuck on birth like a newborn puppy with his eyes closed. But Jesus confidently says we shouldn't be surprised with Spirit. We shouldn't be surprised to see the curtains moving in a room like the winds of Pentecost. You can't see where it comes from or where it's going. We get earthly things and heavenly things confused, and we think earthly things are far too grand. And we try to bring heavenly things down to a level where we can understand them, which makes them far too simple. We watch the wind blow in markets and in the success or challenge of sports teams, in the rise and fall of a government, or the rise of a panic about some new strain of illness that we don't understand yet. We witness the rise and falls of confidence, and we witness the fall and rise of fear. With Nicodemus, we question things and we reveal our simpleness and our lack of understanding, and we ask dumb questions, maybe. Oh, some of you teachers would say there is no stupid question. All questions are welcome, and that's true. But you know, some of us, when we can't understand, we ask the same questions over and over again. And we fail to realize that maybe it's not ours to understand, but that maybe it's more ours to trust and to have confidence. That's what trust is, what confidence means. Confide means with faith. You've heard me say that before because I love the image. Confidence with faith. When we can't figure it out, we trust. And that's where we are with God. Moses had the sign, the very physical sign of a serpent on a pole in the wilderness, a sign of healing. We have that sign inherited in our logos that are used for medical doctors, that kind of a pole. It almost looks a lot like a cross. A pole with a serpent wrapped around it. Moses started that. It's an Old Testament image. It was a sign of healing and hope. And when Moses lifted that serpent on the pole, I don't know, the serpent image kind of bothers me there, but I don't know why that was that way, but that was the way it was in the story. But Jesus transformed that in the New Testament and came to say, referring to that very story, even so, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those who heard him that day had no idea. Oh, they knew Moses and they knew the pole of healing, but they had no idea the cross that was to come, the pole of healing on which Jesus would sacrifice his last breath. They had no idea what he meant when he said, "So must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus loved to call himself the Son of Man because he was fully human. And he was fully divine. The Son of Man he spoke of so fondly represented the human part of that. But he was also the Son of God, as are we, sons and daughters, children of God, every one of us, you too. So that we can rest in him and take his charge, take his advice. When he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for you will find rest for the weary, rest for your souls. For blessed are the meek." And he didn't say, "Blessed are the weak." Meekness is strength under control. Gentle strength. Jesus calls us to that same humble strength as we live our lives for Jesus and give our lives and our living for others in his name. The modern symbol for that pole in the wilderness is the cross. So it makes perfect sense that we should sing, "Lift High the Cross." I invite you to stand as we sing. And if today's a day for you to come to this altar to give your trust and faith in Christ, or to turn in your application for some new calling, to live out that faith in vital ministry, your opportunity is on the table. Let us stand and sing as we imagine Jesus Himself lifted high on that cross. Tyler?
It's number 687 is what I have. Dave's Dying in the West for
Did we already sing Lift High the Cross? That's what stuck in my head. So, let me give my intro to this hymn. Day is Dying in the West. Now, that is a depressing thought in a way, but I would like for you to focus not on dying but on resurrection, and to know that as the earth turns, west becomes east. And that as we imagine how that works, a sunset becomes a sunrise, and a crucifixion becomes a resurrection. Let us figure out how we can recycle ourselves and live into the life and living of Jesus, who leads the way. There you go.
Dying in the west, heaven is touching earth with rest. Wait and worship while the night sets the evening lamps alight through all the sky. Holy, 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 holy.
Please share your positive smile and positive prayer for someone or with someone as you greet each other as our service is done for today. And I challenge you to bring two friends with you next Sunday. You have neighbors, invite them, co-workers. So as Breezeland and Tucker carry out the light of Christ, it leads us all out into the world to be and become Christ's disciples. Go from this place back to yours, ready to be pushed, ready to be pulled, ready even to be carried, but always ready to follow in his footsteps, the footsteps of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.